Sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.I. Kelvin Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let us pray. Our Father, we give glory to thy holy and righteous name for all that thou hast wrought for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the Lord Jesus Christ became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We might have a perfect standing before thee, our living God, in the Lord Jesus who kept the law perfect for us. We praise thee and give thee glory for so great salvation. And so as we wait before thee, we do pray that thy word which thou hast given us this day will go home to each and every heart. Our hearts and minds will be stayed upon thee, and thou wilt reveal thyself unto us by thy Spirit. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week. for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Again, let me say our hearts are greatly encouraged in the Lord that He's working in a mighty way in many hearts, for which I praise Him and for which I thank Him. The last series of messages that we sent out on the true Israel of God has been greatly received across the nation, and I praise God for it, because it's been one of the most gracious truths and God has ever given to us, the present reign of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. If you didn't get a copy of that message and you'd like it, 8 messages entitled The True Israel of God, we'd be happy to send it to you free and postpaid if you will write it. Also, our book that we're giving away this month is entitled The 7 Sayings of the Savior on the Cross by Arthur W. Pink. You'll want this book, one of the most blessed books that Brother Pink has ever written, of the 7 sayings of the Savior on the cross. It is the word of forgiveness, the word of salvation, the word of affection, the word of anguish, the word of suffering, the word of victory, and the word of contentment. This will greatly bless your heart. Why don't you write for it now? We'll send it to you free and postpaid. Ask for it by name, The 7 Sayings of the Savior on the Cross. And our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. This is the 4th message today in this series that we're giving on God's sovereignty in salvation. I want you to listen as we spend the first few moments summing up our previous messages on this subject. Remember now, we've been speaking, we've given you 3 messages on God's sovereignty and salvation. In these messages, we showed you that salvation is of the Lord from start to finish, wholly of God's grace, and given to God's elect before the foundation of the world, according to 2 Timothy 1:9, where he said that he hath saved us and called us with a holy calling given unto us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We showed you that God's election is God's choice of a sinner is set forth in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14 in these words. Listen to God's word. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, wherein He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have showed you in these messages that this doctrine or this truth of God's Word is not mine, but it is what is taught there in God's Word. And for me to be a true voice, an ambassador for the Lord of glory, I must bring forth the whole counsel of God. And so when we come to these messages and show you from God's Word that believers were chosen before the foundation of the world, that they were chosen for adoption in Christ as sons of God according to Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, and Romans 8, 15, then this is God's Word, not mine. Also, to show you that the source of our election is God's grace and not human will, according to John 1, 13, Titus 3, 5, and Romans 9, 11, is God's Word and not mine. And then to show you from John 17, 6, that all of God's elect were given to God the Father, given by God the Father to Christ as the fruit of His death, all being foreknown and foreseen by God, according, as I said, to John 17, 6. These truths I want to bring to you because these truths have blessed my heart. I revel in them and rejoice in them that God has done this for your speaker. And I want you to know these truths and for the Holy Spirit to take them home to your heart and give you an understanding of God's Word. Well, so will you listen? We would say then that election means that God has singled out certain ones to be objects of His saving grace, while others are left to suffer the just punishment of their sins, according to Romans 9, 23 and 23. It means that before the foundation of the world, God chose out of the mass of Adam's fallen race a certain number and predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son according to Romans 8:29. This great truth is clearly set forth in Acts 15:14 in these words. James speaking said, Simon Peter hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. You see, dear friends, the Word of God teaches that back in the eternities when God had finished His election of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the triune Godhead, gave His Word that He would become responsible for the salvation of God's elect, that He would become their surety, He would become their representative, He would become their substitute, and He would become the mediator of that covenant that God the Father had instituted in the councils of the eternity. According to Isaiah 49:1, the Lord Jesus Christ agreed to take all responsibility for all of the sins of God's elect, their transgressions, their trespasses, and to become sin for them. We are told in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He said to the Father, I will pay to thy justice all that is owed you by my people's sins. I will pay it with the price of mine own precious blood on the cross. In other words, the Son said, I will undertake for them. I will become what they are, sin, that they might become what I am, solid righteousness before God. In the Old Testament, in Psalm 47 and 8, this is brought out, for Christ said, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. What preciousness, what grace, that the Lord Jesus Christ would undertake for us before the foundation of the world. Again, to confirm that what I just told you is true, listen to our Lord's words in His high priestly prayer of John 17, verses 1 to 2. He says, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Did you notice those words? He said, to as many as thou hast given him. So we see then that there was a certain number given to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Father. And to them, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He would give eternal life. Go further. In John 17:6, we hear our Lord saying to the Father, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Again, we see that a certain number had been given to Christ, and to them He had given His word. There's another thing you will notice there, if you'll read it carefully, and is this. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I pray for them. And for whom was He praying? Those whom the Father had given Him. And what did He say? I pray not for the world, but for those which Thou hast given me out of the world, for they are Thine. So we hear our blessed Lord praying not for the world, but for those whom the Father had given Him out of the world. Again, this same truth of a certain number being given to Christ by the Father, and for that number, His elect, Christ would die, is seen again in John 6, verses 37 through 39. Listen, our Lord here is speaking to those who followed Him after He had fed them with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And He said, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Who is this speaking? It is our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who cannot lie. He said, all which the Father hath given me, I will lose none, but will raise them up at the last day. So there can be none in hell for whom Christ died. So this leaves the work of Christ, the cross, very complete. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not die for sinners and then leave it up to the sinner's choice to choose him or reject him. And therefore, God would wait in abeyance and would shake it and tremble to see if man with his puny will was going to decide for him or not. Oh, no. Our God is not a defeated God. The atonement is not a defeated atonement. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was for a certain number. And he says, I will lose none of them, but will raise him up at the last day. If we had no other verse but this verse in the Bible, I would have to believe in the eternal security of the believer. I could not believe, if this verse is in the Bible, and it is, and there's 100 or 1,000 more, I would have to believe that there is no such doctrine in God's Word as falling from grace, that you can be once saved and then you could be lost. What are we trying to say? I'm trying to give you by the grace of God, from the Word of God, that our Lord Jesus said that the Father had given him a certain number, and that certain number, of that certain number, he would lose none of them, but would raise them up at the last day. We find here the Word of God is true. Our Lord confirms it, that a certain number of the election of grace had been given to him in eternity, and he in eternity pledged to give himself for them. And praise God, in time he came and bore their sins in his own body upon the tree. For this I praise the Lord. My dear friend, let me remind you of something we've told you over and over again in these series of messages. This is not my doctrine. This is not my teaching. This is God's Word. And because it is, I believe it. Therefore, because I believe it, and because I'm a minister of the gospel of the grace of God, and I'm unbound to preach the whole counsel of God, then I preach it, leaving it in the hands of our gracious Lord. Now, we have seen then from God's Word that God the Father elected, and God the Son declared that he would come and give himself for those whom God the Father had given to him. But yet there remains one person of the Godhead who was also in that council. And we find that he too had pledged himself for the elect to whom the Father had given the Christ. He was God the Holy Spirit who said that he would come. And he would do his work. You see, dear friend, all three of the glorious Godhead are interested in our salvation. All that we have is from God the Father, through God the Son, and by God the Holy Spirit. So since the Father had elected his chosen people and gave them to Christ to be his bride, and since the Son pledged himself to pay their sin debt in full, so the Holy Spirit said in that eternal council, I pledge myself to become responsible to call them out, to reveal to them their depraved condition, to reveal them unto them their lack of understanding and their need of a substitute, and will bring them to Christ for salvation. Furthermore, I will become responsible to get them all safely at home at last around thy throne, and there will not be a loss of one of them, for I too am interested in thine elect. Dear friend, this is precious to me. And this great truth is brought out so clearly in John 16:7-15, where our Lord promised that when he went back to the Father, he would send the Holy Spirit the Comforter, and that he would perform that work of calling out those whom the Father had given to him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to our Lord's words. He told his disciples, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. For if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Dear friend, I praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit's work in salvation. For without it, your speaker would have been eternally lost. You see, this work of the Holy Spirit in calling out God's elect is a work that He alone can do. It is His work to convict, convince, and convert for all of God's people. It is His work to break up the sinner's heart and reveal unto him his lost, utterly undone, guilty condition before God. It is His work to release the depraved will of the sinner, that is, to make him willing in the day of his power, according to Psalms 110:3, so that the poor sinner can repent toward God and believe savingly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I praise God for this, that the Holy Spirit comes and broods over the heart. You see, the new birth is by Him. Regeneration is by Him. Conviction is by Him. Conversion is by the Spirit of the living God, worked in our hearts, wrote in our hearts, by the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's why I preach and believe and know without the shadow of a doubt, without the agency, the power, and the work of the person of the Holy Spirit, no sinner would ever be saved. And this is the teaching of God's Word, and I know this to be a fact. Now, before we bring this message to a close today, I want to bring out another truth here that I know that you're thinking about. And I believe it's in order for us to bring out. And I want you to hear me on all these messages. For there are many, many truths that go out of this truth of God's sovereignty and salvation that by God's grace I desire to bring out before I close this series of messages. But I believe that I should write here in this fourth message, bring this thought before you, and it is this. That God's Word tells us that man is a responsible creature. You see, God's Word speaks of man being responsible to God for all of his acts, all of his deeds, and all of his thoughts from the cradle to the grave. Yes, I know. And I teach both of them that there are two great systems of truth revealed in God's Word, and I believe and preach them both, and they are this. The sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. I understand that in this series of messages I am laying the stress upon God's sovereignty, but this does not mean that I believe that man is a robot and is not responsible to God for his actions. Oh, no. For you see, dear friend, I was made to own and acknowledge under Holy Spirit conviction that I had to repent because God commanded me to repent, and that I had to flee from my sin and my evil way because God had commanded me to turn from Him, to Him from sin. I was made to see and understand that I had to believe to be saved. I had to come to Christ for salvation, and that if I did not get to Him, then it was my fault and not God's fault if I was not saved. Listen to me now. I see in God's Word God's great invitation to every man, for we read it in Revelation 22:17, these words, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And to this invitation, as it goes forth, every man is responsible to respond. But in the same Bible, I am taught in Romans 9:16 this truth. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And according to John 1:13, we are born again not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I see in one place providence presiding over all. Then I see in another place that man acts as he pleases, and that God has left his actions in a measure to his own will. But if I would declare that man is so free to act that there is no control of God over his actions, then, my dear friend, I would be driven to the very great gates of atheism and despair. Then, on the other hand, If I should declare that God so overrules all things that man is not free enough to be responsible, I would be driven to the gate of fatalism, and so would you. Therefore, these two truths remain: God's predestination and man's responsibility. They are taught in God's Word, whether anybody believes them or not. They're not inconsistent or contradictory, but the fault, if we do not believe them, lies in our weak judgment and our ignorance of God's Word. We need to be taught further. Listen now. If I find taught in one place of God's Word that everything is foreordained, and that is true, and if, on the other hand, I find taught in God's Word that man is responsible for all his actions, and that is true, then it is only my folly, my blindness, my stupidity that leads me to imagine that these truths cannot be reconciled. You see, dear friends, God in His sovereignty has made man a responsible creature. And moral inability because of sin does not relieve me or anyone of our responsibility as God's creatures to serve Him, to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. I also want you to remember that in salvation, God never violates the will of man in bringing him to Christ. What God does by His Holy Spirit is to free the depraved will of that man that he may believe savingly, that he could not do of himself. Psalms 110:3 tells us that He makes us willing in the day of His power. You see, our wills are free in respect to making decisions every day of our lives, but they are not free in choosing Christ and our wills, choosing Christ and closing in with Him savingly. He said, Pastor, why is it so? Because Ephesians 4:18 tells us that our understanding is darkened. And you see, our wills are governed by our darkened understanding. And Isaiah 53:2 tells us that our affection is prostituted because of sin, and our will is governed by our affection. Therefore, if God the Holy Spirit did not free our wills, then we would be forever lost. It is He who grants us repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, according to 2 Timothy 2:25. And He does this by sweetly breaking our wills and relieving our wills that we might follow the Lord Jesus. The question is asked, and Pastor, how does the Holy Spirit do this? Well, friends, in our next message, the Lord willing, we will show you how the Holy Spirit, in His effectual causing, brings every elect sinner to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you will want to hear that message. And also, you want a copy of these messages. We should have them available in print in just a few more weeks. And so, you write, and we'd be happy to mail them to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. That's Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. And until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.